Hey guys, welcome to Inference Swap. I'm your host John Pappas with today's Table Talk. Now listen, I need you to subscribe at InferenceSwap.com, or if you're listening to iTunes and Google Play, at Inference Swap Radio, look it up. You can go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to us there at Inference Swap, and that would greatly help us as we're trying to build that channel up right now. Today, I just wanted to talk to you because we're going to have a special podcast coming Friday with my friend Radon Haskins. Now, Radon Haskins has emerged as an African-American leader, one that has come through discipleship through our ministry and has just gone off on his own and become a real man of God and a real leader among his people. And by his people, I mean like at IU. He is a Chi Alpha leader at IU, which is one of the biggest ministries here in Indiana, especially leading with young adults. Now, Radon is a married guy. He's in an interracial relation, or I should say marriage, with a beautiful young daughter. And he has many friends from many different people groups. And while this whole thing is going on with George Floyd, who's been murdered by a cop, and we see the rioting in the streets, Radon finds himself in the unprecedented position to be right in the middle and a voice for young African Americans and an awakening voice to other people groups that don't quite understand the emotions and the issues of this day and why things are the way they are and why they're unfolding. And for me personally, I just wanted to have that discussion with him. And so that's going to be happening Friday afternoon. Now for today, I'm just going to sort of wing it because I don't really wing anything. But I find myself in this weird position where I would normally be podcasting earlier in the week. And I would already know what I'm going to be talking about. But today I just wanted to sort of talk about the emotions that I'm feeling and how it relates to what we do here at Table Talk. Now, if you don't know, Inference Swap was founded on the idea of exchanging ideas with people that we don't normally exchange ideas with and breaking down the presuppositions. Now, it first started out as atheists versus, Christianity, and it is sort of gone into the mission of God and discipleship because I find that religion is the biggest deterrent as anything else. It's as big as a deterrent as anything else. A lot of people think, well, I do religious things, so therefore I'm doing the God thing. And when we look out in the country right now, we can see that there is a lot of work to be done for the kingdom of God and in the name of the Lord. And discipleship plays a huge role in that. And you're like, how does that trickle into discipleship? Right now, at the heart of America, it's struggling for identity. I would say identity in the last 10 years of my life has been the main issue. We find race identity happening, sexual identity happening, sexual preference identity happening, and then, of course, identity politics being played out all around us. And I would suggest that as we look at this George Floyd situation, I wrote three things that are standing out to me, the three issues. We have the actual issue of police abuse to the African-American community, which sadly enough, and I think Radon would agree with me, is getting ate up by rioting and looting. But the issue at large is that issue. Why does this keep on happening? And there's lots of reasons for that, and unacceptable reasons, and then a great conversation to be had there, which I hope to have with Radon. Number two, there's the issue of media driving a narrative which is taking weak, unintellectual people and, maybe uneducated people who don't know much about history, who don't know much about American history, racial history, and definitely recent history. And we see the media's reality of driving a narrative for political reasons. And that would be my third thing that I see here is the politics that are here that are trying to undermine America as a whole. And I would put in that the political side, that there's an education happening on the universities that are systemically left-wing towards socialism and Marxism under the guise of equality as a way towards freedom. And so those are the three issues that I see that I'll probably be asking Radon about. And within the first issue, which is the police abuse and racism in America, I think there's two facets to that. There's the emotional reaction or the way that people feel towards racism. And then there's the actual statistical reality of racism and police brutality and how we tend to overlook that, and the emotional side really undermines the intellectual side when there needs to be a happy medium there. And I think that's true about anything. If you become emotional about people or a group of people or a girlfriend and you break up, then your emotions may dictate your behavior rather than the reality or the intellect or logic of these decisions or the logic or of the reality that you're in. And so there's all these disconnects. It's a complicated issue, right? Now, how does this all relate to discipleship and God's mission? Well, I think what happens because of the media narrative, which is one of my third issues, is it often puts, it does divide us. It divides us into race, into people groups, and we intellectually go back there, even though we might not physically go back there. And what I mean by that is, like, if you're constantly being, for example, told about racism, and then you're told, you're constantly talked about or spewed the venom of, let's say, white privilege, without an actual debate or an education or at least a process of thinking through that, what you do is you retreat to the corners and to what you know. It's the squirrel syndrome. The squirrel syndrome, if anybody knows me, I talk about that a lot, is we know that there's freedom across the road. The squirrel knows all the nuts that he needs to live through the winters across the road. But as he goes out into the road towards freedom, he sees a truck's coming. Instead of just darting across the road, he goes back to where it's safe. And people do this intellectually. They do it spiritually. They do it religiously. And they do it with race. And they do it with politics. And it goes on and on and on, because we're creatures of habit. And we can't know everything. And we don't ever want to be wrong. Now, the media drives an emotional response when it comes to race and sex and sexism and gender and identity and feminism versus male and white versus black and on and on and on and on and it goes, right? But one of the reasons I love the Table Network is we're like saying, hey, screw all of that nonsense. Screw the doctrines of man that we get involved to with Republican and Democrat and independent and feminism versus identity politics, Marxism and socialism versus capitalism, and the legitimacy of the Constitution. I mean, you can go on with the doctrines of man all day long, and those are good discussions to have. But when it comes to discipleship, we're not looking at any of that. We're looking at people. And we have a responsibility as disciples to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And in that, we look past the differences. Now, if anybody's done Reclaim with me, one of the first things in Reclaim, which is this discipleship process we go through before we release people to go do discipleship with other people groups, is in the book of the New Testament as a whole. And then if you start looking at Mark and Matthew, when Jesus comes saying, repent, the kingdom of God is near, what he was saying to a people that were chosen by God, which is Israelites, was everything that you know about God, you need to repent, turn from, and believe the good news about God right now. And that's taken in the context of the Roman government, where Caesar would take over civilizations, tribes, people groups, and say, repent, the good news is here. Caesar, the Lord of all, right? King of kings, Lord of lords, has now set you free, and you need to come to him. And so in a way, the statement of repent, the kingdom of God is here in the Bible, when Jesus said that, is mocking man's kingdom, man's ways, man's rule over man. And what Jesus is doing is he's begun to gather people towards him through the cross. And why that's important is Israelites who were looking for a Messiah only thought that Messiah was for them. Where Paul, as we fast forward through the New Testament, has the heavy revelation that this Messiah is the Lord of the world for all people. And we begin to see in Paul's writings in Galatians and in Philemon, his gospel of freedom. And we begin to see in Luke's writing in Acts chapter 2, which maybe I'll hit on this right away. Acts chapter 2 is really where Pentecost happens, where the Spirit of God is descended on God's church to be a witness of God's rule and reign here in the world right now. And when that happens, there is an explosiveness to the day of Pentecost, where the people that weren't in on that prayer meeting saw what was happening, and they were just like, wow, these guys are overflowing in the Holy Spirit. Some of them, like said, they almost looked drunk, and they were being prophetic in that moment. But Peter stands up in that moment, and this is why this relates to today and the good news of Jesus Christ, is that he says, in the last day, God declares he'll pour out his Spirit to all the sons and daughters, to the young men who will see visions, to old men who will dream dreams, to male servants and female servants, to all people. Okay? And why I'm saying that is this rule and reign of God was for all people. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave the world, all people, that he gave his only son. And he, of course, is that unique one and only son. In the book of Galatians, we look to chapter 3, verse 26, where Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith, that you've been baptized into Christ. So there's no race or creed, no one slave, no one free, no male or female, for all are united in Jesus Christ. And so we see Paul in the book of Philemon talking to a person who was a bondservant at the time, which means he had debts he couldn't pay, and so they made him a slave to work those things off, that kind of thing. Paul says, listen, he's writing about Philemon, who is a bondservant to another Christian, and he's saying, hey, under Christ, there's no longer a bondservant, and there's no more slaves. He is our brother, and this particular guy is a brother, a child of God, and we can't approach these things in the flesh, but by the Spirit. So all of that to say this, that one of the beauty things that I love about the Table Network is we pull up a table of to anybody, whether they're black, white, green, orange, purple, whether they're gay, not gay, whether they think they're a guy or they're not a girl, pick the issue, pick the thing that's out there, pick the identity that they've chose. And we're not looking to that. We're looking to speak to them as children of God, as people who Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King, has come to set free from the tyranny and doctrines of man, and also give them the good news that their identity is as children of God, and therefore they know how to live and rule and reign as children of God. But when we take on these other identities, we find ourselves in the position we are now. When I look out at the position we are now, at these looting and riots and all this stuff, without getting into to the heart of it, just from a biblical process, what we see is that when God created the heavens and the earth and he created man at the beginning of time, he gave a command, and the command was that man would rule and reign with him here on earth. Now, as man left God and sucked up nature, his own human nature, and left God behind, we see that the management and rule and reign of man over man just becomes hideous throughout history, right? From the fall of man to Hitler to the time we're seeing right now. And why am I bringing that up? Sin is a bitch, isn't it? Sin hurts people. Not having God hurts people. Doctrines of evolution that proclaims that there's just process and not God, they are hurtful. It's man trying to fix man, and that's just, isn't that sort of crazy? You're doing the same thing over and over and over and looking for a different solution, right? Thinking that there's going to be a different outcome. Man by himself cannot fix man's problems. Yesterday, I sat for about 2 hours and I listened to Martin Luther King. And one of the speeches that really hit me was, I posted on Facebook, was, "I've been to the mountaintop." I think that's what the speech was called. But as I listen to this man speak and see the relevance of it even today, especially today, where there is seemingly no leaders in a community of people that seem to feel delegitimized, meaning the African American people, they have no real leader with real voice, and they're listening to other doctrines more in tune with violence and undermining America. They're being taught that the Constitution is racist. They're being taught that Americans' founding principles are not legitimate because it's racist, and on it goes, that capitalism is keeping them down. And all of it is buying into a narrative that somehow burning it all down and starting over will fix the problem. And again, it's man trying to fix man's problem. When I look into Dr. Martin Luther King, here was a man who was not a perfect man. We all know that just through reading about his history, but was a man who was an archetype, as Christ was an archetype, in a selfless giving of a cause for a people group through the principles of Christ himself, nonviolence, but legitimate incarnational principles with feet on the ground that brought about real change. That's the point I try to make when I'm talking about discipleship in today's church, is we seem to be pie in the sky a lot of time. We seem to focus on the spiritual, quote, gifts and their legitimacy in a service to change people, but we don't really have boots on the ground. We're not talking to people, seeing where they're at. Why don't they go to church? What are the issues revolved around Christianity and the normal average man that won't go to church? In the same way, we see Dr. Martin Luther King taking this profound sense of God, the profound sense of Scripture that he had embedded deep within the Constitution of America, the founding principles of this country, and applying them to a people group and speaking them to the world, creating one of the best movements I've ever seen. It's literally an incarnational approach to legitimize African-American men and their rights during the 60s and so on. And so that really deeply, profoundly spoke to me. I listened to this man's sermon, and it was, there's no other word, and this word is so overused, it was anointed by God. And we have, I think, history to prove that it was anointed by God, to the point where this man gave his life for a people to see them legitimately free and have equal rights that are on a piece of paper called the Constitution that they absolutely deserve. And that deeply spoke to me. When we're in the Table Network, we're looking to people who have chosen other identities, other ideologies, other doctrines, and they've placed heavy weight and faith in those things. So it's not that they are people of no faith. When you're an atheist and you say, I don't believe in God, that does not mean you're putting your faith. You're putting your faith somewhere, is my point. And we as ambassadors, and I want you to think, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians that we are ambassadors of Christ, meaning we are representatives of God and what is to come in the kingdom of God that is moving around us and what he is going to do as he rules and reigns. And that is our reality. That is the reality we live in today with boots on the ground. And we are those witnesses. We are ambassadors. I want you to think about that, that we need to be involved, not to convince people to be Democratic or Republican or whatever ideology, but that the reality is that they need the Lord, and that the Lord is the one that saves them, redeems them, restores them, and rescues them. And this could be no more true in the story of race and racism, where we have to be incarnational and walk with a people group that feel delegitimized simply because of their skin. But it has to be done in the context of the principles and values of Christ, who give legitimacy to that issue. And that's what I wanted to sort of say too. What do you mean give legitimacy to that issue? I had a friend that I sat here and I made a table with. I was talking to him, and he's trying to tell me that everything's a process and basically evolution, okay? And we had this discussion, and as I reflected on that conversation, I got very philosophical quickly. But at the end of the day, he could not ground his belief in anything real, because I believe that God is the first cause of all causes, and I believe that science proves that, and that that this great mind, this great thing that became known to us in Jesus Christ, is filled with the substances that matter in life. And I talk about this a lot. And one of them is the ability to love, the ability to forgive, the ability to have joy, the ability to conceive. And what I mean, like conceptually have thought processes, to have a consciousness, to feel good or bad, that there is good or bad, do not come from the processes of materialism found in evolution. And it, you know, evolution, material does not evolve through time into a consciousness that can determine right or wrong for itself. Now, this does not mean that I do not believe atheists can't be moral. That's not the issue. The issue is, where are those morals grounded? And this is the issue when it comes to Christianity and God, because we have the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And when we come to that revelation and we begin to understand the gospel, we recognize the gospel is more than this thing of Jesus coming to die for us, right? We recognize that as we die with him, it opens up the entire reality of the potential process and world that God wanted for us to have as a gift. and we begin to feel and realize and love again, inspirationally, as we should have been, and we begin to recognize our own failures and faults, and we ask God to crucify them and to redeem them. That is a complete Christian thought process. You cannot find that in with any sense of grounding in reality, the world we live in, through just scientism or evolutionary processes. And they know that. They can't win the argument. They've been trying to win that argument for thousands and thousands of years. In the same way, if we root the argument of racism in something else, in the politics of socialism or Marxism or identity politics or media narratives or anything in the doctrines we find in man that have a thing behind the thing, right? The thing behind the thing of identity politics is Marxism and leftist values to undermine capitalism, which undermines the Constitution, right? So it goes back to the founding of this country. And when we get to the reality of pushing those things aside, looking to our own hearts and begin to make bridges peacefully towards one another, while there may be a cost, as we saw in Martin Luther King, the cost is worth it. It wasn't like Martin Luther King did not accomplish anything, right, guys? He did. He gave us an archetype, like Jesus is the ultimate archetype, that he was willing to lay down his life for a people group that legitimately needed help. And he's put out a plan, and I'm not going to get out to that. I'm not going to get into like what he was trying to do. Maybe I'll get in that with Radon. But he's put forth a plan and put footsteps to that plan, not based on materialism or material things, although those things are certainly part of the process, but founded on we are children of God. I mean, I kept hearing him say that over and over and over again. No matter what, we are children of God. When I look to the New Testament, we see when God pours out his spirit, it's on male, female, man. In the language we understand, it's for everyone, right? Male, female, slave, free, child, adult, women, men, boy, girl. You know what I'm saying? That's just language, but it's really saying all people. And we see that played out in the New Testament as Paul puts footsteps to his good news of freeing people from the sin of their biases and inferences towards others. And we see that he tries to step into a place where there's a bondservant named Philemon, or a servant or a slave named Philemon. And he's saying, this is a child of God whom I love. And because we don't deal and walk in the flesh, but are led by the Spirit, the same Spirit that was on the day of Pentecost, that we should free him as men of God, because he's our fellow brother as a child of God, right? And then we see him talking and addressing the Galatian people in was it Galatians 3, 26 through 28? And we see that as we come into faith, we no longer have our identities as in the flesh, that places where we put our significance, value, and meaning and purpose. We've now come under the rule and rulership of God, who has restored us and birthed in us again life, his life, because we've died to those old fleshly ways and understandings. And he basically says, now that faith has come, that we were baptized into Christ, and that we are all sons or children of God, who has justified us. There's neither slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are the children of promise. And I want to just say to you, when I pull up a table with people, that's my mindset, that we are one, that we might have different opinions, but we're going to talk about those opinions and adopt those things. And I am not looking to be right about conservatism or liberalism or being an independent. I am not looking, although I have opinions about those, as we all do, I'm not looking to be right about any particular topic. I'm looking for a way for somebody who doesn't have the good news, who can't hear it, to hear it and allow the Spirit of God to nurture and rise that up in them. And I pray for them, and I get across from the table and I try to listen to them, and we talk. And many times in my experience, when I do that, and I do it with the right heart, I'm not looking at people with a target on their back, like they need to be Christians. Like I want to make them my friends and love them. And because I have love in my heart, God ultimately, who is love, who wants to love that child more than I do, ultimately starts working in them. And in this time when it's crazy and we have all these issues of African-American abuse in the police community, the issues of is the foundations of America racist? We have the media perpetuating a narrative to stir the pot. Do we not need the gospel now more than ever? The message of Christ and the message of his church, who are ambassadors to the world trying to preach a reconciliation, not only between God and man, but between all people who God wants to unite under his lordship. And so this is what I'm thinking about today. And I'm going to cut it off right here, but I just want to say, guys, I love you and I appreciate you. And would you do me a favor and rally around with me and pray for this situation? And I want to encourage you to come and listen Friday to Radom and I, as we have a discussion about race, the tensions between racism in America and the police force, and some statistical analysis to move from the emotional to the factual and just see where we land and how he as an African-American has to navigate that, right? All right, so I'm out of here because it's been 32 minutes, but I just want to say thank you for listening. This is a raw podcast. It's not a video podcast today, so I'm going to upload this, and I hope you enjoyed it and it gets you thinking. Look for us on Friday late afternoon, and I will talk to you later. Thank you for watching or listening to Inference Swap and listening to Table Talk. I'm your host, John Pappas, and I will talk to you later.